Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to you all, to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 35. And Tony will play a full introduction. Hymn 35, O send thy light forth and thy truth. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 112. Happy is the one who respects the Lord and who finds delight in obeying his commandments. Let us pray. God of light and truth, you are the maker of all things. For the gift of this new day with its opportunities to do good, for your word which refreshes us as we open ourselves to it, for your wisdom which comes to us as we follow Jesus, for the light that shines upon us as we turn to you in prayer, we thank and praise your holy name. Lord God, in Jesus, you have shown us a new and better way to live. We confess we are not always the people you created us to be. Our thoughts at times are impure. Our deeds at times are self-centered. Our words at times are unkind. Our faith at times is lukewarm. God of light and truth, it is your nature to be merciful to your children. Forgive us our sins and redirect the course of our lives so that following Jesus, we may reflect his light and be the salt of the earth. Lord God, you are our strength and our salvation. As we dedicate ourselves and our offering to you, we seek your blessing on our time together. Speak to us the word of life. Increase our faith. And may the praise we offer bring glory to you, the one in whom we trust and whose commandments we seek to obey. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. Just a few matters to draw to your attention. There'll be a further time of fellowship here in the church following the service. It would be good to see you. Please do wait behind, if you can, for tea, coffee, juice, and a biscuit. Maybe not all together. Tea or coffee, or juice and a biscuit. There'll be a Bible study in the Michael Chapel this coming Tuesday. This is the second in a series. That's at 7 o'clock. And this week we'll be exploring the question, what does the Holy Spirit do? You're warmly invited to come along if you can. Stirling Kirks Together will host a lunch in Park Church Hall this coming Wednesday at 12 noon. And again, all will be welcome. I'm sorry, neither Jake nor I will be able to be there, as we'll be conducting Mr. and Mrs. Kirkwood's funeral here in the church on Wednesday. And we remember the Kirkwood family and all who are bereaved at this time. A number of deaths within the congregation and the parish. And our thoughts and our prayers and sympathy are with the families. Finally, articles for the spring edition of the Parishioner should be submitted by next Sunday. I forgot to mention it last week. My apologies for that. So we're looking for articles for the spring. Nice to mention the spring, folks. That's the spring edition of the Parishioner. And we'd welcome book reviews, devotional material, photographs, news from organisations, recipes, and so forth. And these can be left in the McMichael Chapel or emailed to the email address on the reverse of the order of service. Thank you. Now I've got something to show you today. Now, no surprise in this. A glass of water. Who likes water? It's good, isn't it? And it's important that we drink a certain amount of water each day to keep us healthy and well. So, we've got the water. And I've got something else here, something that is often on the dinner table. Maybe it shouldn't be. Salt. Right, so I'm just going to put a very small amount of salt onto this teaspoon, and we'll put it into the water, and we'll stir it. Right, now, the interesting thing is, when you look at the water, you can't see the salt. It's not evident. And yet, who would like to volunteer if you take a drink of it, you can definitely taste the salt. I better prove that's true. Poof. In today's reading from the Gospel, Jesus said something surprising. He didn't say, try to be salt. He said, you are the salt of the earth. That includes children. That includes grown-ups. That includes those who are confident and those who are less confident. You, whoever you are, if you're a follower of mine, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? Well, just as salt makes a difference, so as followers of Jesus, the salt of the earth, we too are called to make a difference. Now, sometimes we think that to make a difference, we've got to do big things, dramatic things, things that will make the headlines. But that's not the case. Being kind, including someone who feels left out, doing the right thing even when it is hard to do, forgiving, caring, these things can make a very real difference in the lives of others and in the communities in which we live. Salt works quietly. It's not loud. It doesn't seek to draw attention to itself, and neither should we. We are the salt of the earth, and through us, Jesus continues his work and his mission in the world. So remember that wherever you happen to be in this coming week, at home, at work, in the shops, you can make a difference. Why? Well, Jesus tells us, you are the salt of the earth. Thanks be to God. We sing the hymn 694. It's a great hymn, one that I think we've all come to love very much. 694, and it tells us how we can be the salt of the earth. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, reading verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 618 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah 58, 1 to 12. Shout aloud without restraints, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Although they ask guidance of me day after day and say they delight in knowing my ways, as if they were a nation which had acted rightly and had not abandoned the just laws of their God. They ask me for righteous laws and delight in approaching God. Why should we fast if you ignore it? Why mortify ourselves if you pay no heed? In fact, you serve your own interests on your fast day and keep all your men hard at work. Your fasting leads only to wrangling and strife and to lashing out with vicious blows. On such a day, the fast you are keeping is not one that will carry your voice to heaven. Is this the kind of fast that I require? A day of mortification such as this, that a person should bow his head like a bulrush and use sackcloth and ashes for a bed? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Rather, is not this the fast I require? To lose the fetters of injustice, to untie the knots of the yoke and set free those who are oppressed, tearing off every yoke. Is not sharing your food with the hungry, taking the homeless poor into your house, clothing the naked when you meet them, and never evading a duty to your kinsfolk? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and new skin will speedily grow over your wound. Your righteousness will be your vanguard, and the glory of the Lord your rear guard. Then, when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry to him, he will say, "Here I am." If you cease to pervert justice, to point the accusing finger and lay false charges, if you give your own food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the wretched, then light will rise for you out of darkness, and dusk will be for you like noonday. The Lord will be your guide continually, and will satisfy your needs in the bare desert. He will give you strength of limb. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Buildings long in ruins will be restored by your own kindred, and you will build on ancient foundations. You will be called the rebuilder of broken walls, the restorer of houses in ruins. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, reading verses 13 to 20, and can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bible. Matthew 5, 13 to 20. You are salt to the world, and if salt becomes tasteless, how is its saltness to be restored? It is good for nothing but to be thrown away and trodden underfoot. You are light for all the world. A town that stands on a hill cannot be hidden. When a lamp is lit, it is not put under the meal tub, but on the lampstand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. Like the lamp, you must shed light among your fellows, so that when they see the good you do, they may give praise to your Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to complete. Truly I tell you, so long as heaven and earth endure, not a letter, not a dot will disappear from the law until all that must happen has happened. Anyone, therefore, who sets aside even the least of the law's demands and teaches others to do the same will have the lowest place in the kingdom of heaven. Whereas anyone who keeps the law and teaches others to do to do so will rank high in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless you show yourselves far better than the scribes and Pharisees, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Thank you, Sally. Judge Eternal, throned in splendor, hymn 264. Someone said to me the other day, in Scotland, if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes, it'll change. There's truth in that, isn't there? Sometimes, if we're honest, our spiritual lives can be a wee bit like that too. Sunny one moment, dull the next. We can be full of good intentions as we sit here in church or at home on a Sunday morning, but come Monday or Tuesday, the good intentions can often have disappeared. Isaiah and Jesus both speak into that very human reality. They are not scolding us. They're inviting us instead into something deeper and more life-giving. In the passage that we read this morning from Isaiah, the prophet exposes the gap between religious appearance and changed living. And in the passage from Matthew, Jesus calls us, as we heard, to be salt and light, not in theory, but in reality, in the real world, with real people. For me, when you take these two passages together, you find a question, and it's a very searching question. What kind of faith makes a difference? What kind of faith makes a difference? Not the kind that looks impressive, but the kind that is impressive because it changes us, and through us, it changes the world. I was thinking earlier this morning of how when I was younger and often would be in the centre of Glasgow when I was a student. I should probably have been in the library, but there was something about the centre of Glasgow that had certain attractions. And I recall these street preachers. You maybe recall them yourself. I think they were around in a lot of the cities throughout the whole of the United Kingdom. And quite often they would stand in a crate or some type of box in order to be seen and then to be heard. They had one of these old fashioned, I don't know what you would call it, would be a megaphone or something like that, and be up to the mouth, you see, so that they would be heard above all the noise of the marketplace or the busy public square. They were very interesting characters, these. I don't think there's so many around today. Well, I get the impression that in the passage we read from Isaiah this morning, he begins with one of those megaphones, if you like. Shout aloud, do not hold back. That's what he says. And it is the prophetic equivalent of someone saying, right, sit down. We need to talk. I don't know about you, but when someone says that to me, it's a wee bit disconcerting, isn't it? You wonder, what on earth is coming? Or, what have I done? The people of Israel at the time of Isaiah are very religious. They fast. They pray. They show up. They look the part. If they lived in Scotland today, they'd be the ones who never miss a Sunday, know all the hymns by heart, that's the old hymns, of course, and they can recite the Lord's Prayer backwards. There's something to try the next time you can't sleep at night. But God says something that shakes them. They didn't see it coming. He says something along the lines of, you seem eager to know me, and that's good. But your lives tell a different story. Ouch. Ooh. Their worship is polished. But their relationships are a mess. Their prayers are loud. But their compassion is minimal. Their rituals are very impressive. But their concern for justice is limited, to say the least. It's a bit like someone who buys all the gear for hill walking. The boots, the poles, the waterproof jacket, but they never actually climb a hill. They look the part, but the reality is they don't move from their couch. Isaiah is saying, God is not impressed by religious performance. God is moved by lives that have been changed, turned around. I think there's a word here for us today. It's all too easy to slip into a faith that's tidy, polite, respectable. God doesn't want that. God wants more for you and for me than that. God wants a faith that reaches beyond outward appearances and right into the heart. into our very being. When Jake and I meet each week, we agreed when he came that we would meet for at least an hour, but often it's 3 hours. And we cover the things we need to cover that are set out in the covenant that we both signed up to. But we always begin with a time of devotion. And we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs. And I was saying to Jake, I don't think I've ever preached on a verse or a passage from the book of Proverbs. And yet, I'm absolutely amazed by what we're finding. Now, there's a book that was written thousands of years ago, and yet the words, what we're told in it, is just so relevant for these times in which we live. The writer of Proverbs has a great way with words, words that connect with people even yet. And Isaiah has that same wonderful gift. In the passage we read today, I think he gives us one of the most beautiful and challenging pictures in the Bible. God says, "This is the fast that I choose." It's not about giving up chocolate or skipping a meal, far from it. It's about loosening the chains of injustice. It's about sharing bread with the hungry. It's about welcoming the poor. It's about clothing the naked. It's about speaking words that heal, not harm. My friends, would you agree with me? This is not a list of heroic deeds that make headlines. It's a description of a people, a community, where God becomes visible. And the promises that follow are breathtaking. Your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. You will be like a well-watered garden. Buildings long in ruins will be restored. Imagine that. God's people known not for what they oppose, but for what they repair. God's people known not for what they condemn, but for what they restore. In a world that increasingly feels fractured, cynical, weary, Isaiah says something we need to hear. When God's people live God's way, they change, and the world begins to change too. The same theme is picked up by Jesus in that wonderful sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I've got a confession to make. Don't worry. It's nothing drastic, but it could possibly reduce the length of my days. I love salt. If some potatoes are left over after my evening meal, later on at night, I'll sometimes go through when the potatoes are cold and I'll get one, and I'll go to the cupboard and I'll take out the salt. Tasty, or what? And what about soup? I'm terribly guilty of, before I even taste it, putting on a generous amount of salt. And no wonder I find myself a wee bit thirsty later in the day. But isn't it true? Salt has its place. Salt preserves. Salt enhances. Salt prevents decay. But salt only works when it's in the food, not sitting in the cupboard. As someone put it, faith was never meant to lie folded away like a good suit kept for special occasions. True faith is worn daily. It walks, it works, and it weathers the elements. You are the salt of the earth. But Jesus didn't leave it there. He went on to say, you are the light of the world. And I find it very significant. Jesus did not say, you are the light of the church. He said, you are the light of the world. There's a big difference there. And what does light do? Light reveals. Light guides. Light gives safety. But light only works when it's visible, not hidden under a bowl. So what is Jesus saying? Let's get to the point. He's saying this. Faith is not meant to be hidden in our hearts or confined to our buildings. It's meant to flavor and illuminate the world around us. In a Scotland where loneliness is rising not just among older people but young people, in a Scotland where communities are increasingly fractured, in a Scotland where many people, young and old alike, feel spiritually adrift, salt and light are desperately needed. You, my dear people, are salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's not a command. Can I put it to you? It's not a command, because you know what it is. It's an identity. It's who you are. And it's who I am. It's who we are together as the followers of Jesus Christ. But then in his sermon, Jesus goes on to say something that must have shocked his listeners. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Pharisees were the religious professionals. They were the ones who had the Bible verses memorized. They were the ones who had the rules perfected. They were the ones whose spiritual CV was polished so much that it shone. So when Jesus says we need a righteousness that surpasses theirs, it sounds impossible. But Jesus isn't talking about stricter rule keeping. It's going back to what I mentioned a moment ago. He's talking about change. The Pharisees kept the law externally. They paraded it for all to see. But Jesus wants it written in our hearts. He wants it to be authentic. And that's what Isaiah was saying. True righteousness is not about looking holy. It's about becoming whole. It's not about being seen to do things for God. It's about doing things with God. So what does the salt and light look like in our communities? In St. Ninian's, in Brayhead, in Stirling, in Cambus Barn, Bannockburn, Bridge of Allen, Dunblane, Peebles, Rossay, or that great metropolis, Campbelltown? Can I put it to you? The salt and light looks like compassion that costs something. It's not just feeling sorry for people, but reaching out to them. Sometimes compassion is feeding the hungry or helping the poor. Sometimes it's listening to someone who talks far too long. Maybe you're thinking that's what we're doing this now. But compassion is where God's light shines. What else might the salt and light look like? It looks like integrity in a culture of cynicism. I think the Scots have a finely tuned radar for hypocrisy. We can spot it faster than we can spot the rain clouds, and that's saying something. Integrity means being the same person in private as in public. It means choosing honesty when a wee white lie would be easier. It means keeping our word even when it costs us. What else might this salt and light look like? It looks like hospitality in a lonely nation. Hospitality doesn't require a perfect home or a fancy meal. It can be soup and bread, it can be a cup of tea and a biscuit. It can be saying, come in, the place is a mess, but you're welcome. Hospitality is one of the most powerful forms of salt and light we can offer. And what else might it look like? It looks like courage to live visibly as Christians, not aggressively, not arrogantly, but unashamedly. Being salt and light means being willing to be seen, not for our sake, but for Christ's and to the glory of God. It looks like churches becoming repair shops, places where broken lives are mended, not judged, places where people find healing, not condemnation, places where grace is not just preached but practiced. When the church lives like this, something happens. People begin to see God again. Not because we shout louder, but because our lives shine brighter. Isaiah says, your light will rise in the darkness. Jesus says, let your light shine before others. My friends, the world doesn't need a church that blends in. It needs a church that stands out not through superiority, but through sacrificial love. So may we be salt that preserves hope, light that reveals Christ. And may others see through us the beauty of God, who heals, restores, and makes all things new. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, make us servants of your peace. Hymn 527. Hymn 527. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you with thankful hearts, praising you for your goodness that never fails and your love that endures forever. We thank you for calling us to be the salt of the earth, to preserve what is good, to bring healing where there is hurt, and to season the world with kindness, mercy, and truth. Loving God, we thank you for Christ, the light of the world, who shines in the darkness, and for the light you place within us. May we be like a city set on a hill to guide, comfort, and give hope to all people. Gracious God, we pray for the peace of the world. Where there is conflict, bring understanding. Where there is fear, bring courage. And where there is division, bring reconciliation. May justice guide the leaders of the nations, and compassion shape their actions. Loving God, we lift before you the lonely, that they may know your nearness. We pray for the sick, that your healing presence would surround them. And we hold before you the bereaved, remembering the families and friends of Pat Macbeth and Billy Jenkins, and those other families who will gather for funerals in the church this week. Comfort them with the promise of life everlasting, and reassure them with that love that does not die. Gracious God, we give thanks for your church in every place. Strengthen all who serve in your name. Give us grace to listen before we speak, and grant that we may be witnesses of your love, servants of your truth, and instruments of your peace. And now, O God, receive our thanks for those who are no longer with us and who dwell in your eternal light. For lives lived, love given and received, and the memories that remain, we praise you, the Lord of life, and the one to whom we ascribe all glory, Lord, and honour, through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A reminder of the invitation to remain for tea, coffee, juice, or a biscuit. It would be good to see you. The closing hymn, hymn 465, 465, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Go now as the salt of the earth, preserving what is good, healing what is broken, and seasoning the world with grace. Go as the light of the world, shining with truth, compassion, and hope, so that others may see God's love through you. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always.